On the number one destination for all things Queens football.
And that is a touchdown for the Gaels!
With over 50 million lifetime views, CFRC Power Plays is the defining voice in Queens football coverage.
Looking for Nico Quaymo! Quaymo, my goodness! Nico Quaymo with a touchdown!
Follow us today on Instagram at CFRC Power Plays, your number one spot for rock solid football action.
Hey, Cher. I think you're pretty funny.
I think you're pretty funny too, Tara.
Well, that's good because, you know, 30 Years of Nonsense is a great show, and we do it every Thursday from 4 to 5.
We absolutely do, and people can listen in at CFRC 101.9 or CFRC.ca.
Yeah, and we play basically all of our music from the 70s, the 80s, 90s, and current in all different genres.
And we share all of our nonsense and memories. I really hope people listen in.
Me too. See you there.
You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Good morning. It is 11 a.m. on Friday, October 10th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. In the first half of today's episode, we'll be sitting down with local author Jamal Saeed and diving into his latest release, Princess Nye and Other Stories. In the second half, we'll be running through some highlights from Tuesday's City Council meeting, including Council's response to the recent Via Rail announcements, some information from the city regarding the quickly approaching Queen's Homecoming celebrations and the University District Safety Initiative, and more. Kingston author Jamal Saeed has released his new book, Princess Nye and Other Stories. Saeed spent 12 years as a prisoner of conscience in Syria before being invited to Canada to settle here in Kingston. His first book, My Road from Damascus, was shortlisted for the Hillary Weston Prize for nonfiction, and his latest work continues to build on that legacy. Jamal wrote the stories in this collection during different stages in his life, but most originated during his imprisonment. Blending lived experience with imagination, Saeed's stories explore how love, justice, freedom, and beauty endure. I sat down with Jamal to talk about the new collection and how storytelling can survive and even thrive in all places. To start us off, I was wondering if you could just tell us a bit about Princess Nye and Other Stories and how this collection came together.
Well, actually, I wrote these stories in different stages in my life. I started writing stories when I was in prison. I was a prisoner of conscience, as you know. And I collect these stories for a long time and choose some of them. 8 stories were written in prison and some of them were written, 2 in Canada and the others after I was released. Anyway, actually I could find a publisher through my agent, ECW. Accepted to publish these stories. And things went smoothly. Actually, the publisher sent me a very, very encouraging email. And we didn't change a lot. I think I changed only a sentence at the end of one story. And they published as they were written. Some of them was written about 2 years ago and some about 40 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, I guess kind of starting from those earlier stories that you wrote, what role did writing play for you?
Well, actually, when I was 17 years old, I wanted to change the world. And then we organized ourselves, some teenagers, and we started writing pamphlets and we started writing poems or stories or whatever. And then the intelligence raided our house. And then I could escape at the time. I spent about hiding about 2 years and a half hiding. And then I was arrested. And this is why, for political issues, actually, we were with the women rights, human rights, the right of expression, social justice, freedom. Yeah. And, you know, the teenager think that it's easy to change the world. But after 40, I find it difficult sometimes to change my pants.
And what kind of role has writing played in your life throughout all of this, from starting when you were just 17 all the way to writing while you're here in Canada?
Well, actually, I love art and literature. This is the first point. And I read a lot. When I was a child, I could note that some people, like my mom, tell the story in a charming way, while my dad tell it as if he is reading news in the TV. So many times I asked my mom to tell the story, not my dad. Yeah. And later, when I was 14, I was fond of books. And the first man who affected me was Anton Chekhov. He's a short story writer, great short story writer from my point of view. And I started to read for international writers who were translated into Arabic at that time. My English was not good enough to read a book in English. And I didn't have, at the time, I have only Arabic. Anyway, I read a lot of books and notice how people tell stories. I start to note and I start to catch the stories surrounding me and tell myself this story. I told myself the stories again and again as if I am writing. And actually, this bad habit is still with me up till now. So I think that every story I wrote deliver a kind of idea or aim or whatever for the reader. And sometimes I feel that the art of telling stories is so attractive for me. Yeah. To describe what's happened in some way, I try to find the deepest angle. The difference between my stories could be seen. In prison, I imagined a lot. I didn't write about the prison. I write about the people outside of the prison as I imagined them. Out of prison, I wrote about prison and bad things. But at the time I had, let me see, the experience was, you know, I had enough distance of that experience to judge it. Yeah, this is the idea I want to tell. In Canada, something inside me from the Middle East get up again, wake up, and I wrote about something happened in the area I was born. I was lived in Syria 55 years continuously. So it's not easy to forget many things. And the good thing in Canada, I'm free to write whatever I want. Nobody is going to arrest me.
And how did living in Kingston, I mean, you've been writing and living in Kingston for quite a while now. How has that impacted your writing?
Well, actually, at the very beginning, I felt that I'm a newcomer to a new world. After a short time, I felt that, okay, it's bad weather. Not so good weather, but very warm people. after a short time, after 3 months or less, I felt that, okay, people draw the borders, or the history, the political wars draw borders in the world. And the earth is a good place for people everywhere to live. It's good homeland for me. I can live wherever I want wherever I can in the world. So, the Lake Ontario was very, very important element in my and my writing, and in my healing me, and then it's a great character. And beside it, I find a lot of characters. Yeah, I didn't talk with them, but I imagine something. For example, a lady walks with a dog. I feel that the dog is a guard for his lonely. She is alone. And he's not a friend. He's a guard of a lady who is living alone. And I feel that she tried a lot of things in her life. But now her face, like the face of the man who is gambling. No expression. She's alone so much. She didn't express anything. I didn't find that before. And this actually, it was a kind of inspiration. I watched there many times from a distance. Many people say hello. She didn't say hello. But I sympathized so much with her. And then I judged the situation, and then I have a subject matter to write about.
This is really adding to my people watching. I'm going to start making stories in my head by Lake Ontario.
You know, actually, many times for the newcomers to Canada, they have to compare between two things. I'll tell you something funny. My dad, for example, if my dad came to Canada, he will say, "What is it? They grow grass not to feed their cows or sheep or goats, and then they cut it to grow it again. Where's the fruits? Where are the vegetables?" Why? Because that man actually dig the rocks and bring soil to the rocks to plant a piece of tomato, for example, or some seedling. This is why he'll be astonished. My mom will be astonished because old ladies put a kind of rouge on their lips, or they do some makeup, while the young girls didn't do that. This is the opposite of my country. So, as you see, there are many ironies, many differences, many which inspire anybody to say something, if not writing a story, to chat about it with the others.
For sure. And how does this collection of short stories kind of build on your memoir, or diverge from that?
Well, before I published these short stories, I published a book. It is my memoir. And it's the same publisher published it. And the title is My Road from Damascus. My Road from Damascus to Canada, actually. Yeah. And of course, many times I feel that the child inside me, the child that I was one day, is getting up and say something. The teenager I was getting up and say something. So, at the same time, as I told you before, I lived a long time in Syria. I didn't get to any country else. So I know the dust in Syria. I know the stones, the trees, the streets, the people, the clouds, everything. And then sometimes I compare a cloud by a cloud. I compare a grass by a grass, a bird by a bird. Robin, for example, in Canada, I think it's a European one, is a big comparing with robin in Syria. The robin in Syria is small. and so on. So sometimes I compare how to be activist in Canada. The tax is zero. And being activist in Syria, the tax is 12 years in prison. Yeah. Many, many things. Comparing is one thing. The other thing, actually, sometimes I catch some food which looks like the food that my mom did in Syria. Or I catch some fruits or whatever in the stores, exactly like the fruits my dad brought to us. So, you know, the past, wake up and go step by step with the present. This is in writing and chatting and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you hope that Kingston readers, as well as others, perhaps around the world, take away from this new collection of stories that you're releasing?
Well, actually, I'd like they enjoy the goals of the story, the imagination of the writer, the way of building a story, the art of telling stories. I'd like them to discuss me, not agree with me, discuss me about love, freedom, hope, upset, the strengths of a human being, the weakness of a human being, and all the topics which are here and there in the stories. The stories show, doesn't tell. But the smart reader is going to catch me and find my attitude. I don't say that. Be with love, be with freedom. Be with, no. I tell some story. And the Kingston, not the Kingston's reader, any reader is going to conclude something. For me, I love the Kingston reader to read them. They will find one of their citizens and how he is transformed, or what is transformed in his mind. Between when after coming to Kingston, now I'm writing about my experience in Kingston. Now, as I told you before, I have enough distance to judge this experience. Yeah, so really, I start writing about different aspects of the city, of the people, of the neighbors, of the dogs. Yeah. In this, I'm introducing myself in the two books, My Road from Damascus and The Princess Nye, the collection of short stories.
Yeah. And what's kind of next for you? Are you already finding inspiration by more characters in Kingston, or are you moving on to other things? What do you think is next for you in your writing?
Well, actually, in Kingston, I have many things. That inspired me to first to think about the city and then to write about it. The first thing that was so attractive, the old people in Kingston, old people and dogs in the streets, old people in the stores. The second thing in Kingston that inspired me a lot is the young people who came to Queen's University and moving. They reminds me of myself when I was 20 or 21 or 17 or 18 or something like that. I love they are discussing each other. I didn't understand what they are saying because they are far and my hearing is not great. But I love that. It's life. It's so lovely. The other thing that may inspire everybody in Kingston and maybe in Canada is the colors of the fall. Charming colors. Unbelievable. I love them so much. But, you know, actually I'm interested in people more than the nature. I'm interested in a man or in a desert. But the sitting in Canada, the place and the time, also inspire everybody. Maybe to write poems. Maybe to write something like he want to take the colors, just the colors, and make the colors a kind of dress for his daughter or his beloved or his mom, I don't know, or maybe for himself.
I love that. I'm going to be thinking about that all fall now when the leaves change. And rewinding a bit, what about the dogs stood out to you? Because that was the first thing you mentioned.
Well, I'll tell you something also happened in Kingston. When I was a child, a dog bit me. Then after that, I had a kind of trauma or phobia. When I find a dog on the left side of the road, I go to the right side. That's all. When I came to Kingston, the apartment they rented for me, my sponsors rented for me, was not ready. It need painting or fixing some doors, I don't know. So the head of the committee of writers in Kingston, who sponsored me, got me in his house. I got to his house with my family. There's a dog in the house. And the dog wanted to welcome us. And then she wanted to jump on me. I feel that. Okay, my wife knew that my relation with the dog is not so much good. So she tried to take the portion of welcoming of me. When we get inside, when we sat in the living room, the dog always followed me. If I sit on the chair, he comes to the chair. On the sofa, she comes to the sofa. Then after 2 or 3 days, I start to put my hand on her head. And after 5 days, I can walk with it. And after we went to our apartment, our friends sometimes, you know, travel to Ottawa or to some place. They brought it to me to go with her. So Morig, this is the name of the dog, actually Morig healed me. This is my own story. The other thing, it gives me a lot to see people take care of animals. It's a good thing. I love that. They have enough time, enough money, enough room or enough space in their houses. Then they have friends. Not only people, and also animals. For me, up till now, the friendliness of people is the most important. Yeah, I love people so much. But also I love the other creatures, especially the birds.
And so your release is coming up next week, I believe. How are you feeling walking into that and finally releasing these stories?
Well, actually, I was very excited and I was, you know, grateful toward ECW and my friends who helped me to find an agent at the very beginning, who helped me to find a kind of a place to write or a time to write. I felt that, okay, this is a new bridge between me and the people around me, and maybe the people in different places, in different places in Canada, or I hope that in different places in the world. But I don't know. I love this kind of bridge. Many times, you know, we love a singer. We don't meet him. for me when I was young and up till now, I love many writers. I love them. I don't know them. I know them through their works, their stories and their... So I'm so excited that I have a bridge between me and the others. Many times, actually, I wrote that in my memoir. Many times I feel that I have a lot of friends all over the world. There's a small problem. I didn't meet them. Or I can't meet them all. And in this way, I may meet more friends, more people. Yeah, this is the other thing, you know. Actually, to feel that you publish a book and you convince that this book is not bad, you feel that it's it worth to be read. Yeah. In this case, you feel as if you do something good. You know, in the seventh day, the creature said, that's good. And the writers and musicians and the filmmakers and all, there's a good thing to say, that's good after they finish this work, their work, or after they introduce it to the world.
And you mentioned there you had lots of friends to help you along the way. Did you kind of embed yourself in the Kingston writer scene, or did you just have some supportive friends who were like, we'll help you with whatever you want to do?
Well, in Kingston, first of all, we came to Kingston, me and my family, and sponsored by a committee of writers in Kingston who wanted to sponsor a Syrian writer with his family. Second, actually, I could meet many writers in Kingston and read their works and write an article about one of them. And later, actually, I was a guest in Kingston Writers Festival two times, and later I became a member in the board of Kingston Writers Festival, and all of that was for me a great experience, and all of that because I wrote something here. Yeah. And I discussed with some of them some issues about Canada in general, economy, justice, political issues, social issues, yeah. And I felt that after every discussion, they inspired me, yeah. They give me something to know where am I living and how to continue, how to write, how to deal with, how, yeah. I was helped a lot. I didn't ask anybody for any kind of help, suppose having a book or telling something about the history of the city, the history of literature and art in the city. Yeah. Everybody gave me enough time and enough information, or the thing I wanted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how can folks, both locally and beyond, connect with you as you release this book and get the book for themselves?
Well, actually, in the neighborhood, I have at the very beginning 20 copies of every book I published here. Up till now, I published 4 books. 2 sharing somebody else in writing, and 2 by myself. I wrote them. I gave some books to the neighborhood, or to the neighbors, and to some friends. And many friends tell the others, and Novel Idea actually brought the books, and the books are available, and this is the most important thing, in the library. Yeah, I love that. And I felt that it's a great thing for me to find my book in the library and everybody can have it without paying money. Yeah. Some friends contact me and asked me to go to some place and speak about the book or whatever. And there's some ladies in Kingston, like a kind of club. And I actually was so astonished and loved talking with them about my experience in writing and in life. Yeah. Many people actually sent me emails. Some of them told me that we read your book and thank you for it. They said good words. In general, the Canadian people are so polite. Always they say, awesome. Oh, I love it.
It is our reputation. Once again, that was local author Jamal Saeed on his latest release, Princess Nye and Other Stories, out now. Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to our weather and traffic report today featuring CFRC's Jesse Bell.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Friday, October 10th, we are going to see a daytime high of 15 and sunny conditions. Saturday, October 11th, we're going to bump things up just a little bit to a daytime high of 17, dropping down to 8 overnight. And then rounding out the Thanksgiving weekend, Sunday, October 12th, we will see another unseasonably warm day, albeit with a high of 18 and a mix of sun and cloud. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed. Albert Street, Princess 2 Mac is closed. Berry Street, Court to Bagot will be closed October 7th from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. to accommodate a crane lift. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne will be closed. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto will be closed. Johnson Street at Victoria is closed until October 24th for sewer separation and road rehabilitation. Lincoln Drive at Bay Ridge is closed until October 10th for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Montreal Street at John Counter is closed October 7th to 9th from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. each night to accommodate paving operations. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence is closed October 14th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. to accommodate the removal of planters on Ontario Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 24th for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Tivoli Avenue, Midland to Sierra is closed until October 17th for the installation of new services. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson will be closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Here are some other closures and delays to be aware of. Bay Ridge Drive, Milford to Henderson will see delays with the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Cataraqui Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardner's, expect delays for the construction of a multi-use pathway. John Marks Avenue and Innovation Drive, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to start work on John Marks Avenue, Innovation Drive, and Discovery Avenue. Lancaster Drive, Limestone to Jasper, expect delays while a contractor completes construction of new sidewalk and road improvements. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection. Trudell Road development to Danbury, expect delays while a contractor completes road and sidewalk improvements. And Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road.
Thank you, Jesse. Now back to more local news. To start off the second half of the show, we have some stories from Tuesday night's Kingston City Council meeting.
Be a real, get your act together.
That was Councillor Brandon Tozzo at Tuesday night's City Council meeting, following an eventful few weeks for rail travel in southeastern Ontario. In September, to accommodate the launch of a new nonstop express train between Toronto and Montreal, Via Rail announced it would be reducing the number of trains stopping in Kingston and other municipalities along the corridor. However, the company postponed the planned service reduction shortly after the announcement. This all comes after changes announced in March to Via Rail's earlier high-frequency rail proposal, which originally included establishing Kingston as a regional hub. These changes were also formally opposed by council. Mayor Brian Patterson brought a motion to council on Tuesday night aimed at not only securing Kingston's current level of rail service, but also improving it. The motion includes three key requests to Via Rail. The first two are that Via Rail commit to maintaining existing passenger rail service levels in Kingston and commit to a forward-thinking plan for enhanced passenger rail service in Kingston, including upgrades to the existing station and predictable, improved service into and out of Kingston. Mayor Patterson elaborated on the reasoning behind the motion.
The purpose of this motion is twofold. Number one, I think it's important that we continue to work to preserve the level of service we have. And so to be clear, Via has made it as intending to still move ahead with these changes, just not at this point. So I don't think that we can shrink back and be complacent about this. But the second piece is that even with the status quo, I don't think that we should be satisfied with that status quo. And I think we've had those discussions around this table. I've heard many of you talk with the same passion and sometimes frustration that I have on this issue, because I see so much potential for what rail service could be to and from Kingston. I feel like there's a failure of imagination, a failure of an ambitious vision for rail service that I think would very much have the potential to transform a lot of travel through Eastern Ontario.
The motion is topped off with an action item, a request to investigate adding a late night train from Toronto.
And I think if we're talking about where we can improve service, let's start with a very tangible, practical example. I hear all of the time from people in this community about how they would love to take a train to Toronto to see a Jays game or a Leafs game or a show or even go to dinner or even a late meeting, and you simply cannot do that. The last train that departs back for Kingston, you have to be at the station by about 6 p.m. or shortly after. So one of the things that I think that there is tremendous opportunity for is a late evening train back from Toronto. So here's a great opportunity where we can grow Via's ridership, we can improve train travel. And so what we've agreed is that we will do our part in surveying the community and trying to get input about those who would be interested in late evening train.
Councillor Don Amos, who seconded the motion, didn't hold back his frustration with Via Rail's recent decisions.
At the end of the day, Via needs to really evaluate their business model, because if you look at your fourth largest station and you decide to not provide more service there, how badly do they really want to be in the customer service business and moving people across the country?
The motion received unanimous support from council, and so did the feeling of confusion and exasperation over the company's shifting plans.
Like, what is Via Rail thinking? I have no idea tomorrow. Like, I'm going to just open up the news and just be like, what is Via Rail doing? Are they just bypassing Kingston? Are they shutting down service and going bankrupt? I think the chaos that this has brought onto the community cannot be understated, because people don't know what services we're going to get a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now. Imagine what rail service could be in Eastern Ontario. We're living between three large cities, and it is becoming incredibly inefficient to take rail service. You know, I've had my frustrations in the past with Via Rail. I cannot think of more of a time where I am more confused by the message an organization is setting out from a communications perspective to the community and to Eastern Ontario. I'm sorry I sound infuriated. This is one of those times where I'm actually really mad at a Crown Corporation, not the first time, but where I'm just like I have no prediction of what's going on in the future.
A copy of the motion has also been sent to other municipalities that will be impacted by service reductions along the Montreal-Toronto corridor, including Port Hope, Cobourg, Belleville, Napanee, Gananoque, Brockville, and Cornwall.
We do need allies in this, but I think that if we can join forces and have a collective voice on this issue, then we can finally shift the conversation from cutting service to where we can actually add and improve service.
Councillor Connie Glenn added she would be bringing the motion forward to the Ontario caucus to get other municipalities involved. For now, Kingston's rail future remains on the tracks, but uncertain, as council, commuters, and neighbouring municipalities wait to see what Via Rail's long-term plans have in store. We have a few updates directly from the City of Kingston to cap off the show this morning. With the holiday on Monday, here's what's open and closed around town. There will be no garbage, green bin, or recycling collection on Monday, October 13th. Collection will take place on the following day for the rest of the week. You can sign up for collection reminders by phone, push notification, or email, or download the free Kingston Waste app for Apple and Android. The Kingston Area Recycling Center Depot will be closed, and the administrative building has now been closed permanently as of September 30th. Kingston Transit will run on a Sunday schedule on Monday, with one exception. Express Route 601 and 602 will be replaced by Route 60. Kingston Access Services will operate with limited service. Trip reservations are open from 7:30 to 11:30 a.m., and riders can call 613-542-2512 for more information. Administrative offices, including housing and social services on Montreal Street and provincial offices, will be closed on Monday. Utilities Kingston and Kingston Hydro will also be closed, but customers can call the 24-hour emergency line at 613-546-1181 for issues such as gas leaks, power outages, or water main breaks. Recreation facilities including the Invista Center, Artillery Park, Rideau Heights, Kingston East Community Center, and Culligan Water Park will all be closed. At the waterfront, the Confederation Basin Marina office will be closed, while fueling stations remain open at Portsmouth Olympic Harbor, though the office there will also be closed. The Kingston Grand Theater box office will be closed on Monday, and the Pump House Museum will be closed on Saturday. Once again, those are all your closures coming up this long weekend. For full details, you can visit cityofkingston.ca. In another message from the city, Kingston is celebrating World Migratory Bird Day this Saturday, October 11th, with events for bird lovers of all ages. The city is partnering with Kingston Field Naturalists, Little Forests, and the Thousand Islands Master Gardeners to mark the occasion, and will be announcing the new official city bird chosen by residents through a public vote. Morning workshops will teach how to plant bird-friendly hedgerows, followed by the Kingston Fall Birding Festival from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at Doug Fleur Park, featuring a guided bird-watching walk along the Cataraqui River. Admission is free and binoculars will be provided. The city says this is part of its goal to become a certified bird-friendly city in 2025, creating safe and welcoming spaces for Kingston's feathered residents. Once again, for more information on Kingston's celebration of World Migratory Bird Day on Saturday, October 11th, you can visit cityofkingston.ca. Queen's University Homecoming returns to Kingston from October 17th to 19th, and the city is reminding students, alumni, and visitors to celebrate safely and respectfully. The University District Safety Initiative will be in effect from 9 p.m. on October 17th until 6 a.m. on November 2nd, meaning there will be an increased presence of bylaw officers and police in the university district. City Licensing and Enforcement Director Kyle Compo says the initiative helps everyone celebrate responsibly while avoiding high-risk behavior and reckless partying that can lead to fines or safety issues. While the UDSI is in effect, under the nuisance party bylaw, fines range from $100 to $2,000, including $2,000 for hosting or sponsoring a nuisance party and $500 for failing to leave a premise when ordered. As part of the safety measures, Gord Edgar Downey Pier and Breakwater Park Beach will be closed nightly from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. during homecoming weekends, including October 17th to 19th and during FOCO the 24th to 26th and during Halloween weekend the 31st to November 2nd. The city is also reminding residents and visitors to be mindful of temporary parking restrictions, including on Aberdeen, William, Earl, Division, and University Avenue, starting October 17th at 5 p.m., through to October 20th at noon, and again the following weekend. Full event details and parking maps can be found on the City of Kingston and Queen's University websites. The city says it's looking forward to welcoming Queen's alumni back and encourages everyone to enjoy homecoming safely, responsibly, and respectfully. Before we wrap up this morning, we're going to run through your Friday forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer this weekend. Starting off tonight, Ontario Festival of Small Halls presents All Ages Irish Mithin at Newborough Community Hall at 7:30 p.m. And Walks of Life Open Mic takes place at Next Church at 7:30 p.m. If you're looking to get into the Halloween spirit, Fort Fright at Fort Henry also takes place at 7 p.m. nightly through to November 1st. You can kick off the long weekend supporting local vendors on Saturday morning with the market at Wolf Island Commons at 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and the Kingston Public Market in Springer Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And once again, to get into the Halloween spirit, we have Family Halloween Silent Disco at the Quality Inn at 1 p.m. and Teen Halloween Dance Silent Disco at the Quality Inn at 7 p.m. To finish off the night on Saturday, we have karaoke at Timeout Bar at 9 p.m. On Sunday, it's time to get thankful with Thanksgiving dinner and music by Eric and Megan at the Cove Inn at 5 p.m. Once again, those are just a few events happening this weekend from our events calendar put together by Ellie MacArthur. Have an event you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar? Reach out today via CFRC.ca or at CFRC Music. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To listen on the go and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay current and be sure to stick around for our afternoon lineup right here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear. As the cooler weather sets in the Kingston area, CFRC and KPP concerts are turning up the heat with a stacked fall lineup. On October 10th, check out Shania Twink, followed by the Arrogant Worms on October 11th at Broom Factory. Sloan hits the Ale House on October 18th, and folks can catch the Grapes of Wrath on October 22nd, Crywank on November 1st, and Georgia Harmer on November 8th at the Broom. Billy Faffel, Guy Davis, and Rhea May are also playing at the Broom on November 12th, 15th, and 16th, respectively. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present a selection from local act Left Handed Archer's newly released third album, A Blue Arctic. Connor Barnes and Peter Sanfilippo return with a tight 33-second record of emotive and wide-ranging electronica, combining beats both menacing and relaxing. For fans of David Lynch, ambient Aphex Twin, Kelly Lee Owens, and The Field, you can enjoy some music while oceans rise and glaciers melt. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream A Blue Arctic now on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Miami Sinking Into the Ocean here now with us on CFRC 101.9 FM.
you tired of the same old playlist? Well, you have two options. Either turn the radio off or turn it up with Power Hour. I'm your host, Disheveled, and we're bringing you the most explosive headbanging rock on the airwaves. From deep cuts from your favorite classic rock bands to the best in up-and-coming rock and roll, we're here to rattle your speakers. Don't miss Power Hour every Thursday night at 7 p.m. here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present Endless Summer, the second single from the Petras, capturing the fun, carefree vibes of summer in a bouncy pop rock tune. Released on the last official day of summer, the song captures the feeling that summer is a state of mind, not a date on the calendar. This release also marks the first single off the Petras' upcoming full-length album. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Endless Summer by the Petras right now on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Host of Phase Radio, airing on CFRC 101.9 FM every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m., where we'll lean into all our different phases. Happy, sad, anxious, angsty, angry, and excited. Tune in each week as we revisit past mistakes, explore dreamy adventures, and embrace current moods with a variety of indie rock tunes.
and welcome to Salt Licht in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licht in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM. Something to tell you. Your fix of post-punk, new wave, garage rock, and proto-punk? Tuesdays at 11 a.m. Hey, but don't tell anyone. I'm Izzy, and this is Our Secret.